Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Siakam the slam!
Welcome to Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles. Rate, review, and subscribe on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. What do they do? You're drinking tea. Subscribe.
Everything. Press every button. Link, like it. Send the link to somebody else. Email it to somebody else. Comment on Instagram, YouTube. Whatever it is that you do, whatever's your platform, use it. Spread it.
Enjoy. Beautiful. That's it. Hell of a promo right there. So CJ, it seems the Raptors are slowly but surely winding down their options for who their next coach is going to be. Now, one is to believe that Sergio Scariolo and Jordy Fernandez are two of the final three finalists. Who that third one is, I don't know. Maybe we find out later on today. I'm not sure who it is. It could be a lot of different people. Huh?
I didn't think about that. I hadn't heard that. I don't know who we don't know who the third one is.
No, we don't. And I don't even know if Jordy is actually, to be honest with you. I think it is because of a report by Mark Stein that's indicated to keep your eyes on Jordy Fernandez with that Toronto Raptors job. And funny enough, guess who was coached by Jordy Fernandez? CJ Miles in Cleveland.
The perks of playing 1,000 years in the league, right? Everybody's name comes up, knows something about. Now, Jordy's great. I loved him in Cleveland. Obviously, he's a little younger, but it's great to see where he's grown and so he went from there. I think he went to Denver after that before he went to Sacramento. But a lot of knowledge, a lot of different coaches, a lot of different types of players, like different types of games, has a real good understanding of the way the game is played now. It's not a coincidence. There's been success everywhere he's been. Coming off the success just now in Sacramento and being under Mike Brown and being under these great coaches, I mean, he's had a great career so far.
Certainly.
And he's good on the floor, too, because he started being on the floor with guys. That was how I met him. He was on the floor with guys, like working with guys.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually, is how did you meet him and what was your relationship with him in Cleveland?
Yeah, so like in Cleveland, when I got there, we were just talking about this beforehand, we had a ton of coaches. We had a ton of basketball knowledge around, which was needed, though, because the team was so young. So you needed to have guys that could – you know, because you know how it goes, like, over the years, you know, that becomes your guy. Like, you know, just out of relationship-wise and, you know, y'all just relate a certain way and you can speak and he can tell you the truth and y'all can, you know, it's just how it goes. So, like, every coach has got two or three guys that just have a better relationship than the others. Like, my guy was Aubrey because I knew Aubrey before I got there. But then after meeting Sergio and being there during the summer and being there with certain guys aren't there, you start to develop these other relationships. And that's how I got cool with him, just from – being a gym rat. So I ended up kind of getting cool with all the coaches because I had to work with all of them because I was always there. So, but that was the great thing about it, though. All those guys had a different sight on things, ways they could help you. And that was what was great about it.
So what was Jordy's then?
They were big on like just the pace and the angles and the things they was teaching me because I was coming out of Utah, like we were talking before. I've 7 years of running that system that UCLA won for a high, transferring over to the big above with the big up top, the dribble handoffs and all that. Just a lot of nicks and next little things he showed me just about creating in that space and just about the shape that it was going to take to be in to play this.
And they just
challenged me. He challenged me the way I shot the ball, the numbers, like you should be able to make 8 out of 10 instead of it being whatever from this. And we're going to stack the drills where there's going to be multiple actions to push you in all these different ways. They showed me how to translate that into the game. Cause I think, you know, when we first came in, the workouts were just pretty much the workouts. You shoot your spots, might be one thing, do some ball handling. It's not really, it wasn't always game actions in the workouts to transfer over. It was just about being in the gym.
So how did Jordy convey that to you? Did you Was he a good communicator at that time? Do you think he's honed that skill over time? Or, I mean, even like still, did you, like when he spoke to you, did you trust what he was saying?
Yeah, and I think it was just the availability also. Like, there was never a time when I came to him that it seemed like he didn't want to, like, or he wanted to, like, no, we need to do this instead. Like, no, this is what you want to explore, let's explore that. Hmm. And then it'll sprinkle in what needs to be sprinkled in on top of it, but don't just, like, negate it. Because I think that happens sometimes when guys come, it's like, what about this? And the coach has an idea of what they want you to do. So they just shift you straight over there. And it was like, no, I was just trying to learn. Like, this happened to me. I wanted to know how I could do it better. But they're like, no, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. Let's just do that. And I think the best thing about him and the rest of that staff was they were open to exploring the game. And you see that with guys, with the younger coaches coming up into the pool now, because the game is played so open. They've allowed that growth to happen. And I think that was one of the great things about it. He was great. Obviously a younger guy too. So like relatability was good. But great energy, love to be in the gym. Like that's all you can ask for as a player. Like, you know,
I was going to ask you about that actually, because Mike Brown has mentioned this before with Jordy, is that he's kind of a gym rat, that he's always around. And if you know more about his background, you know, how we arrived in the NBA, like it's he's grinded a lot from step by step by step everywhere he's gone. He's slowly but surely making his way up. And it seems like he's ready for this. Did you, like, actually, this is a better question. Can a player tell when an assistant has head coaching, like, chops that they could do that, or is it less obvious in their role?
I think so. In all honesty, in that time period for him, I couldn't say yes or no, just because what a head coach is now is so different. The game is so different, and the way we look at it is so different. You know what I mean? And the collective is so much more used. Like, you see so many more guys that used to be head coaches being assistant coaches now, because it's treated as a collective. It's not this dominant, I'm the guy mentality anymore. Mm-hmm. Do I think he had enough knowledge and he could grow into it? Yes, I definitely saw, you could feel that and see that, but I also probably wasn't looking at it that way. Cause he was so, when we crossed paths, we were closer to each other's age than you would see a head coach. So I'm looking at Mike Brown at that time, who's been coaching the gap between them at that time, because he's been coaching so much longer, and Byron Scott the year before, Jerry Sloan, all my coaches have been in the game so long, it was hard to see a young guy as a head coach yet, because I hadn't seen it.
Mm. Anything else stick out about Jordy from that time period? I should mention too that I think most people would probably think that, hey, why aren't you asking CJ about Sergio? And your interactions with Sergio were kind of few in that time with Toronto, so that's why we're not going to get into that.
What I do have on him, like, he was great. Like, I'd have time to create a real bond with him. A little quiet in the beginning. And, like, obviously, there were coaches there from the year before, and Phil Handy came in, who I already knew. So, like, it was easy for me to fall into relationships with guys who were already there and a guy I already knew. So, I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with Sergio because that had to be built.
Sure. And,
as everybody knows, that's the year that the championship was won that first year. We came into that thing running. Like, like the energy, that's one thing that was great about that year, is like when that season started, when we came back in the August, September, I mean, September, August, whatever, we're getting ready. Like, it was full blown jumping in the gym already. Like, guys are at it, guys in shape, working, playing. Like, it wasn't no easing into that. We were already in training camp. Like, before training camp started. So,
sure,
we got moving.
And for Sergio, he has openly talked about, you know, I'll stop short of saying discomfort, but he was kind of getting his groove still with being in North America and being a coach. Yeah. The Raptors, they were trying something with him. And obviously, you look at his credentials, like, he was clearly qualified to be an assistant coach in the NBA, but it's a new experience for him. So I don't think he was probably trying to tiptoe a little bit, gradually get to know people. And then obviously, you just didn't have like that much time with him. But I mean,
and all that's completely understandable, right? Like, it's so different. Like, everything, even from the point of, like, if he's coming from coaching at home, which we know he speaks two languages, even from the standpoint of just speaking English more, not that he can't, but like just the shock of that. You know what I mean? Like, yes, he speaks both languages very well, but you're coming from being at home with a comfortability of
everybody has got this certain, like everybody feels when they go home, you feel at home. And then you get thrown into North America, a different situation. Guys that already know each other. It's not like there's a whole new staff. Like you're the new guy, really. Like it's a new staff, kinda. Like, yeah. But you're the one that's the newest part of this whole thing. And you're just trying to figure out where your feet go. Like, do I speak up now? Or does Nick want me to do this? Or do am I just the offensive guy? Do I speak up when we're doing this? It's so much that goes into that.
Yeah. What was his job when you were in Toronto? Like, I think Nick does like distinguish, okay, you're the offensive coach, you're the defensive coach, that kind of thing. Did he have a role necessarily?
So I remember him speaking more on the offensive side. I think Nick let him, you know, I think him and Nick's relationship is way different than what obviously the players saw. Cause I know both of them sat around and like tinkered. Right. But I think the biggest thing, remember,
green waves happening.
Yeah, the biggest thing for that year was getting the offense to a European style of movement and passing and flowing. And Nick wanted somebody else that thought in that realm. Yeah, and I think that was one of the biggest reasons why they sought him out, because he was that. And you can look at his track record. He has been great. Sure. That's the type of stuff that he did. And Nick wanted somebody else to help him cultivate that.
Factoring in what we saw and, you know, where we are now, Nick Nurse is now head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, especially with some of the personalities and people that are coming up for this Raptors job, it's Chris Quinn in Miami, it's Jordy Fernandez, it's David Adelman, it's Sergio. There seems to be an emphasis on finding some offensive creativity in their next head coach. Fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to be. I think you need that now.
Yeah.
Just the way that, because like, it's like, so we're going to go through this shift, right? All the time. It's like we went through the shift that we're in now, and we've been opening up the creativity, opening it. Now we know the league is also a copycat league. So everybody starts to see what's working and things starts to happen. So you try to bring in some fresh blood to add on top of that. And we're just also seeing something that it takes a long time to happen. The coaching pool is just changing because of the changes of the game. Like I think we talked about this before. Like the some of the coaches that you used to see get fired would get hired like 3 days later. The coaching pool is growing now because there's younger coaches coming up that's been working with all these young guys who are the guys, and they are the ones who taught the game the way the game is being played now.
Exactly.
So that's why the coaching pool has changed. And that's no slight to the older coaches. It's just time for those new voices to see what they can do in the front chair.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's happening. Like there's no slight. Those guys were great. And it's a time. Everybody, it's like a player has a time. Coaches have their time too.
Yeah.
The game is so different. And those guys that are open to that last longer, obviously the coach, like Pop is open to, and Pop's always kind of been ahead. They always played this way, the way we play now. They kind of played that way after it wasn't just throw it to Tim Duncan every time. As he got over there, they opened that thing up, and it was more so figuring out how to play with him in that. They had a European style already. But like now, you got all these young coaches who've been in the gym with all these young guys and expanding this game and teaching the skill sets and teaching them. It's time to see what they can do. And I think now you find some of the elder coaches, I shouldn't say elder to make some sound, but some of those coaches where they could be of great help now is what we were talking about, some of them being first assistants. And
that'd be a weird transition.
They can let their ego, but I don't think so, because it's such a collective now. Yeah. It's just understanding like what you can do now. Like you just kind of like steady the ship, because that young guy is like, oh, we're going to try this, that. He's like, well, now, like, you know what I mean? Like, let's remember some of these things do not go away. Some things are part of the game, and it's just embedded in the floor plan. Like, it's just every floor plan of every successful organization has certain things in it. And you're going to need some of those wise voices to make sure those things stay also.
It's like a superstar going as they get older, all of a sudden they become like the sixth man, you know? It's kind of like that.
Or even like we look at K-Lo's position right now.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of too. Yeah.
Like you think of like that, and now he's like, all right, I'm coming off the bench on a good team doing this. But I bring all these things. I bring this pace, this mentality, these things that some of these guys that's playing over might not necessarily have. But when I lead by example and I show them that these things still affect the game, then I can rub it off. It rubs off on people.
He's a player coach, but he's still a player.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, I'm excited to see what who they land on here. People are asking, you know, it should be this guy, it should be that guy. I'm like, who the hell knows, man? Like, these guys are the people who are in the interviews. And the reason why the Raptors have, like, obviously taken their time with this is exactly what you're talking about. The coaching net is different now. And they wanted to learn and understand what the hell is out here. And whoever they decide it is, I mean, there's rumors of Steve Nash, too. I don't know, but whoever it is,
I saw that too.
I'm confident that it's going to be the right person based off of what they know that they need.
Exactly. And that's the only thing you can go off. It's like drafting a player. You can only go off what you think and what the information you can grab. You don't know if it's going to turn into whatever, but you just try to make the best decision you can make based off the information that you can grasp. And track record, obviously. You look at track record. You look at, you go talk to other guys they've worked with. Because even if you do that, you can go talk to people they've worked with, and they can have two different – this person on the right could be like, I can hate him. And the person on the left was like, he was the greatest coach that's ever touched this place.
Sounds like Nick Nurse, but yeah.
No, but that's – you can use it as an example. Like, yeah, you can't see that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you got to go with what you think is going – what fits the vision of what we're trying to do next. And that's the thing that we don't have, right? We don't know what Masai and Bobby talk about when they sit down after the – we know some of the things they tell the media and some of the things they say they want, the culture and things. But those are broad things. What exactly do you want the culture to be? We don't know that.
Yeah.
We can guess because of what's been successful. And we all have our thoughts on what we've seen, but we don't run the show.
I'm still not entirely sold that it was Masai and Bobby who wanted Nick to go. I think Nick wanted to go more than anything.
Yeah, I don't. I think it got there. I don't think that was the first option. I don't think they were gonna sit down with him. And was like, look, I think it's time. I think they were gonna sit down to see what they could do to improve. And I think some comments got made from both sides, and somebody didn't like one, and somebody, and then it just escalated. I think it escalated like they threw stuff at each other. I don't want to make it seem like it's a fight, but I think it just kind of got. I was like, okay, well, maybe then.
Yeah,
because it didn't seem like it was this horrible breakup. It just seems like they didn't know that was – it's Masai very much sounded like he didn't know that was where that was going. Like, in the beginning when he was talking about it, he's like, he said these things, and it was like, well – like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't – Masai's very much so like, ah, like, we would have known if he wanted him out. Like, it would have been very much more cut.
Yeah. When Masai said – Nick had those comments. I believe it was actually in Philly. I just realized that it was in Philly. We had those comments about, you know, maybe it's time to reflect on my time in Toronto 10 years. That was in Philly, wasn't it?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I think it was. I know that's the comments that started to like, maybe this might be.
Exactly. And so I think that actually shows more of where Nick was, because that was addressed by Masai at the end of season. And he said that, you know, I think I've said this on the pod before, that George Karl, when, him and I were together, is that George said, there's going to be three times where I just need you to forgive me because I'm sorry I said something wrong or whatever. And Nick's like, he cited that, saying that, you know, Nick apologized, came out wrong, didn't mean to say, he shouldn't have said it, yada, yada, yada. And we moved on from it. So if that wasn't, you know, what broke the relationship, then it seems to me that they were still open to bringing Nick back. And even there have been some people, credible people within the Raptors, reporting business, that have said that it wasn't that simple. And that's probably why it took so long for that to happen. When normally when coaches are let go, it's like right after the season ends or in those few days afterwards. It took like 10 days. So that really shows to me that they were evaluating, and they were together. They were saying, do we want to continue doing this? Is this best for me, Nick Nurse? And is this best for you, Masai Ujiri? And then they decided that they decided to break up.
That's definitely what it sounded like. Because I don't even think it was – I don't even think Masai and Bobby were thinking that until Nick said, like you said, what he said.
Yeah.
I think that's what made the whole thing kind of come into fruition, like the even conversation of, well, do you want to be here? Like, you know what I mean? Because we assume – I think they assume that – because I think we talked about this, like, when –
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Winning a championship buys you more time than a couple seasons after of not winning a championship. Not saying unless you're just awful. And that wasn't the case. So I didn't think it was them giving up on Nick because, and I don't think it was Nick giving, I think it just got to, they got in the middle. I was like, okay, maybe it is, or maybe you don't see this the way we see it.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I think that's the way it should go a lot of times, maybe without so much in the media in the beginning, but it is what it is.
So getting a new coach has to be an odd experience for a player. You go from getting your marching orders from one person, and then that changes over the course of a few months. And I asked you off air, I'm like, how many times have you experienced where, you know, a season ends and you have one coach, and then a season begins and you have a new coach, and you're like, a bunch of times, most notably in Toronto.
A lot of times.
So what is your first interaction with a new coach?
Most
do they call you? Do they call you, say, hey, hello, how you doing?
Yeah, I mean, that happened with me later because being a veteran guy and being a guy that played a good role on the team, like that happened. Like when Nick called me, and then I came to Vegas to Summer League and we had to sit down. We were all there around that time. That was before all the trade and everything happened. That happened. But like also me and Nick knew each other, so we didn't have to have this like super long conversation. It was just like, you know, me continuing to do what I was doing with the young guys and being who I was on that team, which was kind of like a glue. You know what I mean? Like, and other times, like even when it happened in Memphis, even though I didn't play, like, Memphis's coach, when they got the new coach after Bickerstaff left, I got traded before I got to play for him, but we went and sat down and had lunch. Like, same thing happened with Mike Brown. Mike Brown was interesting because Mike Brown flew to Dallas and we met in the airport. Because he was flying see guys like all through the thing. So he was like, instead of me having to change the whole schedule, he was like, I could just push a flight and just come eat lunch in the airport, sit. That way nobody has to like make a strenuous effort to get in all these different places. So I drove up, we ate lunch in the airport, sat there and talked it out, whatever, whatever. And then boom, we got on a flight and it was over. Like,
is that what he was doing? He's going airport to airport talking to
guys. Yeah, he was going to see guys. And I don't know where he was going next or if he was coming back home to go ready to do it again. But he was coming through Dallas, and I was at home seeing my family.
Right, right, right.
So, like, that's how we met.
Airport meals. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, we had lunch in the airport. But the biggest thing that changes with that is what one coach values, the other coach might not value as much. So, like let's say they both value my shooting, but they might not think that having a veteran in this part of the lineup means as much as the other one does. Or they might see you more as they want the shooting from a different spacing on the floor because of the type of plays they run. So now you got to play a more power forward or more this or more that. Like, that's what changes the most, is just what that coach values compared to the other.
Okay. So in this day and age, and we just talked about Jordy Fernandez, to me, it seems like Jordy would say, where are you most comfortable? Where do you want to be on the court as opposed to this is where you're going to be?
Mm-hmm. I think that's you meet somewhere in the middle of that. Cause I think if you just let everybody tell you exactly what they want, it will go. Yeah. But I think the way you do that the right way is like, if I'm the coach, I come with film and things you've been successful doing and all these things. And I show these things to you and I'm like, and I asked you that question with this. I'm like, is this what you like the most? Because the numbers say you like this. Is this what you like? So when I go to figure out how to utilize you, I make sure that this is there's heavy doses of this in it. So we both can be successful. Like I know like, it's just a coincidence you made corner threes. You not like being in the corner, like you know what I mean. Like if I don't know that, but I also have to show you that you shot this from the corner and this is a weapon, because that's what happened with me with Mike Brown, with 3-point shooting. Like at that time, I was still a little bit all over the place. I hadn't like solely focused on it, and he came to me. He was like, looking at these numbers and what you could do for our team, there should be more of this. You shoot it too well for this not to be worked on like as the thing in your game, especially with the people that you're playing with. It will. And I wanted to play. Yeah. And I wanted to help my team. So how could I do it? You're playing with Kyrie Irving. You space the floor. You play with Paul George. You space the floor. You play with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You face the floor. Like, you know what I'm saying? I played with Darren Williams before that. We didn't shoot a lot of threes, but I could have did a lot more if that's the way we thought about it then. The game wasn't there yet. We were still in the 1-4 high set, and we didn't work on threes as much. That's the thing. That's the difference. So I think that was a thing that really helped me as a player, too, when a coach sat me down and was like, look, you're really good at this. We could make this something, and this could help our team. And I think guys look at it differently when you do it that way.
So it's helpful when a coach would come to you with their thesis and then the proof.
Yeah, right? And the proof. And then also,
and not just telling you, saying, I want you to do this. It's like, I think you should do this, and this is why.
Mm-hmm. And right. then there's other things you do well, but if you're looking like me, I'm looking at it as the whole picture, as the team. So could I have been like, no, I want to turn into an ISO guy? Did I have the skill set and athletic ability at that time to turn into that? Yes. Would it have helped my team? No. So now it's up to me to make the decision, because now he gets to see where my mind's at, too. Do I want to help my team or do I want to help me? Do I want to win or do I care? And there's a line, because we get paid off stats, right? Like, get it. Like, I made another half of my career off of that change.
Sure.
Like, the next 7-8 years of my career, I get everything because of that change. Not saying I couldn't have done something else, but I know the change. I know that. I just fact. That's what happened. I don't get to Toronto without that change.
So when a coach is introduced, or you have your first practice with this new coach, is there like there's a mission statement, and he's like, all right, guys, hello, everyone. My name is so-and-so. I'm your new coach. Although he probably has already met most people. And then he just tells you like how we want the season to go. Is there something like that? Or is it just like, let's get into these new drills, which I'm assuming also happens. You get new drills.
There's definitely a meeting on the points of emphasis, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely something, because you want to establish that. You want to establish, because like, again, you want to know, you give players an answer to why we're doing the things we're doing now, or why I'm going to change this, or why, because I feel you guys are suited to play more this way. And I have the evidence of numbers and film and all these things. So, and a lot of times the guys might want to hear, you know, what, they don't want just marching orders to sit blindly into the war, you know? Like, it's like, well, why are we doing this? What's the idea? So I can wrap my head around it, so I can buy in, so I can get to, instead of you just drilling me. And like, back to Mike Brown again. I know, did you hear about what he did in Sacramento, the contract?
No.
He had the guy sign a contract, basically, like, and you don't have to, but you can if you want, because that he's like, when you sign this, now everything that we do throughout the season is for the team. So if something has to get moved, the chains, or your minutes go down and this, that, you don't get to, you agree to understanding that this is for the better of our team. Like, or if your contract or your assignment that you've been, your role on this team that you've accepted as this is your role and your guy, if you're not doing this and we take you out the game, you don't get to complain. You signed the deal saying that you agreed to what we saw this as. So he was doing that back then. He wrote on card. Everybody had a card, and it had things that he thought that you provided for the team that you did well. And this is after assessments. He didn't just walk in doing this, but like, so you could see how the team played out. It's like, all right, you know, you defend well, you do 3-point shoot, I need you to run the floor, I need you to do these things that you see that you've been doing well, and this is what helps our team. And he gave that so you could put it on your mind, so you could wrap it around your head, so you could wrap it around in your head and be like, all right, when I'm doing this, we go. This is my thing. Like, this is my part of the car that keeps it together. And I think I always thought that was great, because it allowed guys to see it If they had a problem with it, didn't want to buy in, we can have a conversation about it. It's right there in the open. Everybody got a card. Some of them he had like I even believe there was a time. It's like, well, what does yours say? And everybody had time to agree with it. If they did, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because we know too. As a player, I know what this guy, I should know what my teammates do well and don't do well and how to help them and how they can help me. I should know that. So it's not a secret. Let's be honest about this thing so we can win some games.
Are there cases in your career where you had more interactions with your assistants versus the head coach, like one-on-one basis? Did you have more conversations with an assistant, or was it like the head coach would tell the assistant and then the assistant is the person who conveys it to you?
So this is not a – I think that happens a lot during the season just because, like we talked about before, guys have relationships with different coaches are different. And that didn't change the head coach. Like, like I spoke more to the assistants than I did to Nick. Not to say that me and Nick had a terrible relationship. We spoke, but I just spoke more because I was in the gym all the time. So I was always with the assistants. So it's not like they don't tell Nick. They go, oh, yeah, CJ was here. We did this, that. And then he might say, what did y'all do this, that? And it might come back that way.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Same thing coming up in Utah. I was with Ty Corbin every day. All the time. And that's why it was hard when he moved to be the head coach, because now there's no time for that. That was my guy. And I was a kid at that time.
Yeah.
So, like, this is my guy. I'm 18. This is the guy that I make that relationship with that's kind of helping me get through all these things. And then he gets moved to the head coaching job, and now that guy's gone. It can't go that way. And that's hard, too, when it happens like that. Same. And then, like, I think a lot of times it happens like that, honestly, that you end up talking to the just because of the gym time.
Yeah, that makes sense. It does make sense. Is there a new playbook you get? Like, you get some sort of something to hold in your hand where you got to learn this by a certain day?
I don't know if they do that as much anymore. They used to. We used to get, like, iPads and playbooks. And we used to, like, I don't remember. We got an iPad in Toronto. So what happens is they get the iPad and they upload clips and film on it, so that way you just know excuse you always have something with you, and or they just email it, whatever, which way you want to do it. It got easier because now everybody has iPads and carries them and does.
It's
like a waste of time to give everybody one and have to return it and have to whatever. But and then the plays, as far as that goes, they get introduced through practice and through drill work and through things like that, and then they start to give you certain ways you can see it or a copy or whatever, so you can kind of refresh when you leave.
Do pregame, halftime, postgame, do any of those change with the new coach?
Not really.
Yeah.
Okay. Not really. But that formula is pretty much like we meet before, go over whatever, watch a few clips, talk about where we're going, halftime. Some coaches talk a little more than others. Some just throw up a couple clips and be like, look, this is what we got going. You know what I mean? Like, but that one's pretty much kind of, it fluctuates a little bit, but it's not that much different. At least in my experience, it wasn't.
What about film sessions? Does the content of film sessions, are they different versus like how many good things are being shown? How many bad things? Are players being called out? Is it subtle sometimes? Is it a coach talking to you offline about something that was just seen in a film session?
I think the big group film sessions change with certain coaches. Cause like Coach Sloan hated watching film in the film room. He hated it. He hated watching it as a group, the whole thing, because especially if it was a bad, like, he would get mad again watching the film. He would just stop it. Like, I'm sick of this. And he'd just go out to practice. And we just like, he's like, we could just be working on it instead of me, but I need you to see it, obviously. And then I get to Indiana and Coach Vogel, who grows through the system as a film guy. We would spend an hour in the film room sometimes. You know what I mean? So it's just different because some people, the way they see it, it's like we talked about the value of certain things.
Right.
Like, he valued it much more because that was the way he really learned a lot of it to become a head coach. So it's like, if I can learn this way, we definitely can learn as a unit this way, which makes total sense. And in some days, players, they just don't want to sit in there for an hour. Like, it's just hard. Especially if you do it before practice, like, it's hard. And I think some people are just more into individually.
It's like, hey, sit with him and show him these five clips.
Yeah.
Because he keeps not doing this, or he's not grasping this. And I think that happens more and more now. You see it on the benches, guys watching clips on the bench, and or before games, yeah. You always see the coach sitting with the player, especially in Toronto. They'll sit down. We did that. They'll sit down with you, show you your clips before you do your pregame shooting. It might be defensive clips and offensive clips, things that you're going to get, looks you're going to get in the game, things you haven't done in the last couple of games, just to keep it this ongoing refresher.
Final question about this. Favoritism. Can a coach sometimes have their favorites, and it could be a rejuvenating feeling for a player to have a new coach where it's a bit of a fresh start, even though maybe your skill set hasn't changed too much. Mm-hmm. I guess your role can change based off what we just talked about, but is it a rejuvenating feeling knowing that there is a new coach if you are not necessarily happy with how things were going with the previous one, even though the role could be kind of similar in terms of just like a minutes thing?
Yeah, I think so. And it could just be the approach of the coach too.
Yeah.
They could want you to do the same thing. It's just the way they approach you and show you the value of it. Like we keep saying, I keep using that word, but the value of what you do could be placed on a higher level for that to the next coach, even if it doesn't change minutes, change whatever. But he's just like, he just puts a highlight on it. He's like, look, you making this shot or you doing this is the reason why all this goes. And it makes you see the importance of it, and it changes the way you are. I think sometimes, like, there's a lot of times where there's no communication, even if you are doing things well, wrong, whatever, and guys just kind of in this la-la land, and you're like, well, I don't know if they really want me here or not, or if they really want, or if I'm just, they just playing me because there's nobody else to play, or things like that. And don't get me wrong, playing well should be enough for you, but everybody wants to know, like, what's, you know, they want some type of transparency with the coach and why they're doing this and what's going on, just to feel like they doing the right thing or get some reinforcement for it, you know? But I definitely think that guys get rejuvenated, and it could just be as simple as, like I said, the coach just making a small tweak that allows everybody to see how important you are. You could have been doing the same things. It's just like, look at what that did for us.
You see that too with the Raptors, you know, some subtle changes here or there for Precious Achiuwa, for instance. Mm-hmm. Right now he's able to get downhill more. Maybe he's coming off pin downs, as crazy as it may seem, and he's able to just like get some force going to the rim. I always saw him working on that during practice, you know, being a better cutter, being a better driver, keeping your handle tight, things like that. I could see it helping someone like him, because he's pretty up and down with the with McNurse this year.
And a lot of times we notice, just by changing sceneries with guys, it's not always lack of skill set. It's sometimes just space and opportunity, right? Like, you see guys leave a place where they average 9 points and average 18 the next year. It's not that they couldn't average 18 last year. It's just the way they're playing and the players they're playing with. Like, it is what it, that, and that's a lot of the league, though. And I think we kind of overlook that sometimes. There's a lot of guys that can average 15, 16, 17 points in this game that are on the end of a bench, just because of opportunity and the way the game is played. That coach values this guy's style of play more than his because of the way he coaches. This is what it is. Because think about some of the guys that play right now that average 18, 19 points, 20 points a game. They wouldn't have played for some of these older coaches 8 years ago.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
You're like, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to shoot threes in transition. You're not going to play. You know what I'm saying? No, think about it. Like, they would have not played. The coaches didn't like, think about, everybody loved Jamal Crawford at one point, but there were coaches around the league that was like, he couldn't play for me. You know what I mean? Just because of the style of play. Now, think if Jamal Crawford was in his prime 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
They would love to have a guy like that, that creates the way he creates.
At that height.
At that height, at that, with that skill level, can shoot it, can do. I mean, we saw it. He had the big role for the Clippers at the end of his career.
He was wild. Ooh, he was wild. This was fun, man. Rate, review, and subscribe. Closing thoughts? Anything?
Share it. Enjoy it. Listen. Questions? There you go. Tweet it. DM it. Whatever you got. Like.
DM it. Beautiful.
Yeah, be careful with that. Be careful.
True. Especially in this day and age. Okay.
Man, very careful. Actually, do not DM me. Tweet it. Just don't. Yeah, just don't do it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.